Hello, and you're very welcome to the latest Your Politics podcast from the RTE Leinster House politics team on a sunny May afternoon. With me, my colleagues Juliet Gash, Micheál Lehane and Sandra Hurley. We have sunshine, and Juliet, we have committees.
Indeed, finally, at long last, what we've all been waiting for, what all us nerds have been waiting for in Leinster House. I was watching the Public Accounts Committee's inaugural meeting, and of course it has quite a few new members on it, John Brady, Sinn Féin, TD for Wicklow being the chair. And he very much has, he laid out his priorities, I suppose, for the term. Some new items, including he wants to investigate what he called the massive profiteering in the deeply flawed, and I'm quoting him, provision of international protection accommodation services, the IPAS system for asylum seekers. And so he said he wants to look into that. He also wants to look into, again, what he called the overspending in the National Children's Hospital. He did point out that in the past, they have not been so willing to come in, members of Children's Health Ireland and the National Paediatric Children's Hospital Development Board. So whether they're going to be more willing to come in. Now, in fairness to them, I watched a lot of committees where there were members there in attendance. So they have been brought in before. Mm-hmm. They will be brought in again, I'm sure. And he also raised the fact that he wants to look at bogus self-employment, not just in RTE, where we've made the headlines once again, but in terms of the gig economy and things like that. So he had lots of well-wishers on the committee. Like I mentioned, lots of new faces. And interestingly, mm-hmm. a couple of people saying that the committee would be poorer for the loss of two fine Murphy women, Verona Murphy and Catherine Murphy, who were, of course, on the previous Public Accounts Committee.
But of course, this new Dáil is moving ahead. We've been hearing from Alan Kelly, haven't we, about RTE and the Director General, Kevin Backhurst, is going to be called in there.
It's extraordinary that Alan Kelly has managed to get himself into the headlines before the committee has even formally met, but it will meet soon. But he's managed to have a meeting with the RTE Director General, I think at the request of RTE, and he has been provided now with extra detail around that write-off of the IT system of 3.6 million. Now, Kevin Backhurst making the point as he entered Leinster House this morning that that was on the accounts. New Era was aware of it, but he himself wasn't. I still think, despite the fairly amicable, relaxed tone from Kevin Backhurst and indeed Alan Kelly himself, who said that Kevin Backhurst would know his style, he have an awareness of that, that when it comes to the committee itself, this probably still will be a sore point. Patrick O'Donovan, who has been quite mild, quite relaxed relatively, that he's made the big discovery now on this, said he didn't expect to be back at RTE given all that's happened, but that's where things are at.
All right, and so it's falling into place, Sandra, but how long till these the rest of the committees are actually up and running and holding their hearings and dealing with legislation?
Yes, I think it will be another 2 weeks before you'll actually have the rest of the committees up and running. Next week, the committee chairs are all going to meet. They're going to discuss kind of scheduling slots for the week, mm-hmm. all that kind of thing. And then they'll get going the following week. And there's a break the first week of June. The Dáil is off. So it's been a slow start. There's still a bit of time to go before the committees really get their teeth into what they're going to be doing. And yes, you put your finger on it. How much legislation is ready to go? We know that there is a big justice bill that deals with the Migration and Asylum Pact, the EU Pact. That is ready to go, and there will be a lot of discussion about that, a lot of controversial provisions changing how asylum seekers are dealt with in Ireland. But there's not a whole lot else in terms of legislation so far. It is still the case several months in that the legislation has been slow to come to Cabinet, certainly to get to the heads of bill stage so it can go for pre-legislative scrutiny.
It's interesting though, Public Accounts Committee always does damage and makes an impact, and it has done it already in a most unlikely way. That's because Catherine Arda was the person on the government side who was meant to fill that very precious, much needed other member speaking time slot, of course, that convulsed this place for so many months. But she didn't make it today. The reason, she was down listening to the CNAG and she said she didn't have phone coverage. She has since apologised to the House for what she said was human error, and she said it wasn't like her. But Piers Doherty said to Simon Harris, you went to all this effort for Michael Lowry, and it is embarrassing, so embarrassing for the government. And it is, it must be admitted, given that the cover for creating that speaking time for those once regional independents was the fact that backbenchers were clamouring to get the chance to ask questions in the chamber.
Yeah, that's interesting, all right. We also learned as well, speaking of legislation and timelines, the Occupied Territories Bill, that's been, it's never out of the news, but learning a bit more this week.
Yes, so the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris, met Senator Frances Black yesterday. She, of course, brought forward her bill 7 years ago, back in 2018. The big move on this, of course, came before the election. Last July, the International Court of Justice made a ruling that the Irish government then said changed the position on the Occupied Territories Bill. Both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael said they could now legislate for a version of that bill. And they did make that promise before the election. And the opposition, I think, are going to really try and hold them to that. So what Simon Harris said yesterday after that meeting is that he's going to seek permission shortly from the government to draft the bill. Then we'll get the heads of the bill. But really, that tells you that we're several months away. It is going quite slowly. And all the time, the stress, the points he is stressing is that this is legally very challenging and that the legal advice the government has is that there's only a narrow route to get this through, and that is only if they focus on banning trade in goods, not trade in services. And that's something the opposition, the Social Democrats and Senator Frances Black have said they will fight to the nail against.
And of course, the backdrop to this, Juliet, has been the scenes that we've been, well, the limited scenes we're getting out of Gaza, the reports of children dying of starvation, the ongoing attacks, the planned annexation, World Food Kitchen running the last bakery in Gaza, now closed, they've run out of flour. And just a short distance away on the other side of the border, trucks and trucks loaded with aid, not getting in. So you can see how that gives energy, and those who are calling for the government to do more, a moral imperative on pressing this argument. And we're going to be hearing a lot about this, I suspect, in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Ciarán O'Callaghan today raising the issue at leaders' questions, you know, mentioning that we're now entering the third month of the Gaza blockade. And as you say, the scenes are apocalyptic, and they have been for quite some time, but it's worsening all the time. Ciarán O'Callaghan raised the issue of weapons overflying Irish airspace. Also, Paul Murphy made the same point. And
he walked across the
chamber handing his dossier to the Taoiseach. It was taking leaders' questions today. And he said, here is the evidence, you have it. You know, and the Israelis have also admitted to flying weapons over Irish airspace. So this is something that's becoming harder to stand over. The Taoiseach saying on the Late Late Show last week that he didn't believe weapons were being flown through Irish airspace. So it is a tricky position to be in.
And of course, part of the backdrop, the Israelis, haven't they... the Israeli government, I think it was, talking about Ireland, Spain, and I think one other country, and using the term anti-Semitic about the policies being adopted here. We know the new US ambassador, that the whole issue of Ireland's position on Israel was raised in his hearing. So there is a tension there that the government has to navigate in all of this, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, but I suppose for those who believe in the Occupied Territories Bill, they think that is a tangible thing, something that goes beyond the joint letter with five other countries that Simon Harris signed up to this week, which spoke about Israel violating international law by the blockade around humanitarian aid and by any further efforts around the permanent displacement of people. This is something they can do. And I think despite the kind of focus from government that there is a change now, a shift in moving this quicker, but what that is a general scheme of a bill going to cabinet. The general scheme of a bill going to cabinet means so little really when it comes to momentum, given that it's such a long journey to passing it. Again, Simon Harris trying to say that he's fully on board with Frances Black today, saying she's a good person. We don't have any ideological differences when it comes to that point of goods and services, that it's solely legal.
So the government is saying, look, we're doing more than most. It's a tricky situation. We're navigating it as best we can and as effectively as we can. And on the other side, the argument that the government is slow walking the Occupied Territories legislation in order not to offend the US or the Israelis even more. That would be the kind of various viewpoints summed up.
And I think the nub of it really, and Simon Harris spoke about this morning, is that no matter what the Irish government has done, it has gone out quite far with these other countries, Netherlands, Spain, Slovenia. It's still not far enough for the opposition. And we saw that today, Ciarán O'Callaghan decrying the fact that he hasn't even sought permission from the government yet to sketch out the outline of the bill. Sinead Gibney speaking about this yesterday. And I think the opposition also aware, and Sinead Gibney spoke about this to reporters on the plinth, that there's a feeling that the public, when surveys are done, when pollsters ask about this issue, that the public are on board with this bill. The government made an express promise before the election, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and really the opposition are going to hold them to this. And I think there will be just huge pressure both inside the Dáil and outside the Dáil. We see protests all the time, people on the streets over this, and that really is going to continue. And the government aware of that. But you also speak about the pressure from the American side. We've seen this through the American Chamber of Commerce, through some FOI requests, which have shown the type of briefings that the American ambassador here has been giving to officials.
And I want to come back to the committees as well. And yesterday we had more statements in the Dáil on the Farrelly Commission investigation into the Grace case. Clearly a lot of political unhappiness. But the question is, what's the better model? We were talking about this, Juliet, on the Week in Politics at the weekend with Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh. And if you want better, there are fairly simple choices ahead of facing politicians.
Indeed. She was saying that with the old model, I suppose, of tribunals of inquiry, which lasted months, years, some of them, were very much in the public and people were compelled to attend. So there was this sense that we were getting all the answers. The state was getting all the answers and the public could watch them and view them and find the reports. But the problem with those is that you've got massive delays. You know, we know that the file in terms of... you know, they take 14 years, for example, the most recent in terms of Michael Larry's.
We had the Moriarty Commission, the Garda investigation subsequent to the Moriarty Tribunal, and that file only went to the DPP.
14 years on, exactly. So that was the difficulty there. And she said, however, with the referendum where it was put to the people, do we want to give the Oireachtas more powers in terms of compellability? And then the public said no. Now, it was a small enough majority, but...
That was in 2011, the referendum.
What government would want to rerun that? So it's again, this is another sticky wicket, you know, how do you improve it? I know that, I don't think it came up on Sunday, but some people have been saying that the Scally model was very good in terms of cervical check because there were a lot of answers there. And perhaps if that could be formalised, that might be the way forward.
But there is an issue here. And listening to the, I mean, there's no doubting the genuine emotion and the genuine concerns of politicians and, you know, the sense that the Public Accounts Committee back in 2016 could, you know, unearth more about this than people feel they have subsequently learned from Farrelly. And there's the whole question as well as Grace's legal representation and why that wasn't included in the report. But there is the separation of powers. And listening to TDs, some TDs in particular, and Matt Carthy, for instance, yesterday for Sinn Féin, saying that he wants the head of the commission to come in to talk about those questions. There is a separation of powers. And if politicians want more and better out of investigations, then it's up to them to either go back to the people and say, you know, let us have committees investigating these things and making findings of fact, or else they've got to come up with a better model than tribunals or commissions of investigation.
Yeah, and I think everything that's happened in the years since 2011 would probably, I don't know, but I would guess, lead the public perhaps to be suspicious about politicians getting the kind of power that they were seeking then when it comes to committees. I think there is a fear, though, as a result of what's happened with the Farrelly Commission, that when a genuine request in the future comes for further investigation, that it will now be cast aside. And already you're hearing that from the government, say that there is no enthusiasm to go down the legal route at all. And I think that probably creates a barrier and a wall now that will be in place for several years.
Yes, and the difficulty also will be finding individuals willing to conduct these types of investigations, whether it's a retired judge or another senior counsel, because the feeling is that if you don't unearth something, if you don't come forth with findings that people are happy with, that they're going to really criticise you, even if perhaps the legal evidence wasn't there to stand something up in a way that would withstand future legal challenge. But I do think there's a nervousness in government about how they have responded to the Farrelly Commission, because they are very conscious of this, the fact that this is legally tricky territory. They set up somebody, they gave somebody the power to conduct a completely independent commission of investigation, and the government cannot then come out and heap and criticise that person. And they have been very careful about that. Micheál Martin has spoken about that in the Dáil.
I suppose there is a piece of work, to use that cliche, awful cliche, that the Department of Children are going to have to carry out now with the other children, the many other children that were in foster care.
47, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. So it's not quite a review, but it is a communication on that. So that's going to be kind of an important political piece that has to be done now. The other thing then is the legislation around vulnerable adults that will have to progress fairly quickly, we think, even though it's not on the priority legislation at the moment. And that's looking at things like neglect and coercive control, making them offences.
It'll be interesting to see how that develops and indeed what model is chosen the next time one a major controversy emerges and who's going to get the answers and you know, give people, the public, some sense of accountability or clarity around these various concerns. What is a concern at the moment is the tariffs. And today, of course, our colleague Paul Cunningham, not with us because he's in Brussels, with the Taoiseach, and where Ursula von der Leyen has been outlining what the EU countermeasures might be if there is no deal in this 90-day window. I forget how far we're already into it. But so far, what we're hearing out of Brussels is the EU side, I mean, they're offering a trade deal, but they're not getting much purchase back. So it'll be interesting to see these countermeasures may have to be deployed. And we don't know yet how much pain that's going to mean for us.
Yes. So what they have done, the EU today, is they're putting these measures on the table. The retaliation is there. Now, we haven't seen the full detail of the list, in particular how it might affect Ireland. But it does look like drinks in some form, wine, other types of drinks are on the menu here.
Bourbon. Don't forget the bourbon.
Don't forget the bourbon. That would be something Ireland managed to get that out of the first list of retaliation. So it now goes back to member states for feeding back into the process. Ireland will be lobbying to take out measures that might ultimately hurt this country. But the important point is, as you said, that everybody wants negotiation, Europe wants negotiation, but it feels it needs to put this on the table because without the threat, then President Trump may not move his position. What everyone else wants to see is a de-escalation, ratcheting down the tension and pulling back somewhat. And that's what investors and everybody in America wants to see as well. They want Trump to pull back, and whether he's going to do that isn't clear.
And in some breaking news, in fact, the White House has unveiled its US-UK deal, which is a fantastic historic day, in the words of actually Keir Starmer for once, not Donald Trump. So they've got their big deal.
Yeah, and the question on these deals, and we don't have the details yet, but some experts this morning already are saying it's not really much of a deal. You know, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and theatre going on about this. In the meantime, those tankers have not left the Chinese ports, and that's just hitting the west coast of America, I think, this week. And then it's expected to spread to the other ports that the ships and the tankers don't turn up. Therefore, the truckers can't distribute. Therefore, the goods don't get to the shops. Therefore, the tariffs start to bite on inflation and start hitting businesses and employment. So the next couple of weeks, while we've had a lot of talk about tariffs up to now, we'll start to see it land, won't we, in all seriousness in the States?
Absolutely. You know, it's obviously significant when China is simply saying things like, we're not taking those planes. You know, Europe did put aircraft top of that list of tariffs, pharmaceuticals too, which is bad for Ireland. But people involved in trade look far down the line. These decisions are taken months ahead of time, years ahead of time. And so when there's no certainty about what's coming in weeks, it's very damaging.
There is that worry about the trade deal too with the UK and the US, isn't there, in relation to the North and the Windsor framework? And suddenly questions being raised about that. The Taoiseach is saying this morning that that issue will have to be at the centre of all EU negotiations and worries being expressed by Sinn Féin, because it doesn't seem simple at all. It wasn't simple to get it, and it seems particularly complicated now.
So we're going to be talking about tariffs a lot in the next couple of weeks, but I want to talk about something else, Micheál, and this was the appearance yesterday of the Sinn Féin senators in their shorts in solidarity with the GAA camogie players and their escorts. And of course, this morning we learned that there's going to be a special Congress in 2 weeks. And we had Sports Minister Charlie McConnellogue and others talking about it in the Dáil this week, didn't we?
Yeah, weighing in. I mean, this became a political issue that was inevitable. Alan Kelly and the Sports Committee too, kind of getting in on it early. And I mean, there was political support for the people who had taken the stance and taken it on a united front, which you don't always see in GAA. I mean, going back to the Cork hurler strike that time, they felt they didn't get enough support from others. This is unified. It's been a long time brewing, but there was a unified stance now that has won political support.
You were talking about Miriam Lord's column on this morning, Sandra. It was particularly good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. She drew an analogy with the men in Rome at the moment, all the men talking about how they are going to rule the church and which man is going to take over. But she had a word I can't remember, but it was about the fact that they were wearing frocks. These are men who choose to wear frousers, was it?
Underneath
underneath their frocks. And of course, the men are making all the big decisions while they're waited on by women. And she was drawing an analogy with the Scorts row here, which seems to be an open and shut case. If the players want the choice to wear shorts, surely this is very simple. Give them the choice. Micheál Martin weighed in on it in Brussels, and he's on the side of the players. They should have the choice.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend as well, won't it?
Yes, there is. Is there a Munster final? And I think there's going
Waterford,
to be a protest. Yes, Micheál clearly knows about this.
They've said they're going
both
to wear shorts.
Both sides are adamant. Yeah, that they will. And the Dublin County Board already for club matches, haven't they issued the decree to referees just to let it go, but to mark it in the reports. But the fact that you do have that special congress way ahead of schedule now was being brought forward by a year or something, but now it's just within weeks. So it does look like a clear victory.
Well, we watch that space. One of the things, of course, that's also always with us, Micheál, but again, after the whole row about Brendan McDonagh and the Housing Activation Office, it's still the question of what's the big plan on housing? What's the big plan on delivery?
Yeah, and the bubble has burst around the Housing Activation Office, really, in one sense now, and kind of the opposition demanding more detail on it. Some staff are being deployed within the Department of Housing into the unit, but who's going to become the figurehead for it? Who's going to be the one to kick down the doors now that Brendan McDonagh is off the scene? And of course, it does seem inevitably politically that's going to have to be someone on a very different salary, whether that impacts who they can get or not. Well, we'll have to wait and see. And then there is those wider issues that this unit is meant to be dealing with, and one of them, of course, is water connections and controversy this week, that it seems like there was another bit of trickery in the budget around the allocation to Ishka Éireann. Was it additional or was it not, that billion that was flagged on the day? Well, yes and no, yes.
But three quarters went into paying down debt, didn't it?
Yes, so it was for existing commitments, so nothing new was going to stem from it, even if it was a bit of extra cash on the day. One way or another, that money was going to have to be found.
And the argument goes back to the argument Owen Murphy made, isn't it, when he was housing minister, about if it's an emergency, declare an emergency. Mm-hmm. And this is, it would need an emergency response. And I suppose the challenge for the government, because, it's widely accepted by the end of this 5-year term, 300,000 extra homes are needed. If they're to be provided, something would need to start moving this year. Otherwise, the chances of hitting that target would seem to be, well, Gary Gannon said zip on TWIP, didn't he, at the weekend?
Yep. Well, maybe they need to do a conclave for housing, as suggested by David Hall in the Irish Daily Mail. I mean, look, it's not without merit, the idea of throwing everything at it, and the government will say it is, but where's the progress? Where are the numbers? And it clearly hasn't ramped up this year.
I suppose one of the next measures politically, which may tell something, and that's to do with the local authorities who have been asked by the housing minister to redraw their development plans and to essentially rezone loads more land. It's just how quickly will they respond to that? Some views within the political parties that this will not happen as quick as the government are saying. And of course, if that is further delayed, if that drags on for a year now, that will lead to more political pressure.
And the limits on extra housing that you see in some local authority plans, you know, we've planned for so many and that's what we'll deal with. And you have seen planning applications being refused on the basis of, you know, going over that, if you like, that plan in the past. But the question is, that's popular. That's local democracy. So there's this push-pull between, if you like, the national need and the local need.
Yeah, I mean, in the Dáil chamber yesterday, the public expenditure minister said there is 11 or 12 local authorities that do have land banks that could move very quick. But then again, that does come back to the question of the water and the fact that water services was one of the big election issues, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Ishka Éireann needing at least in the region of 2 billion to try and provide those services. And there is anecdotal evidence of some planning permissions now being granted, but contingent upon water services being upgraded before the build can actually begin.
And the other question that government has to address, and again, it would need to be addressed fairly soon if it's to start having an impact, given the long-term nature of these things, is attracting in more private sector funding.
And Brendan McDonagh could have been a help there, could he?
And the government are adamant, and they repeat it all the time, that private sector investment has to be part of the solution. You cannot do it alone in a solely public funded model, which is what some of the other parties want. But clearly there's big pressure now on the housing minister. He may not have come up with the idea for the Housing Activation Office, but he certainly put his name on this idea of having a housing czar. He announced it in a newspaper interview. That's gone belly up. He has recommitted, saying that he's going to get somebody else. That looks very difficult now. So another focus as well on He's going to revamp the housing plan and publish that in July. They need to do something. The imperative is they have to do something else. They have to do something different. They have to be seen to be doing something different because, as you said, it's not working and the early predictions are that the numbers are going to be down even further this year.
And you see, the pressure takes so many forms, doesn't it? Like, you do have government TDs and you've James Brown's colleagues who are looking at him as well, who don't like this, had gone back into the constituency every weekend, and they do want to see someone who is keeping some of that criticism away from them. And now, if that gets worse, that sours the atmosphere further and leads to greater problems. And I think that is beginning to happen at the moment. I mean, Dara O'Brien did not succeed in many levels, but he did have that ability to get through controversies and to plough his way through it, which something his colleagues were grateful for. In the past too, you saw Jennifer Carroll MacLean and another guys when she was working in the backroom team going over to the Department of Housing with Owen Murphy and essentially redrawing how the stats were measured, which bought him about 12 to 18 months at the time of easing the pressure.
And all of this, I mean, if the big plan comes in July, all of this feeding then into the pre-budget tensions between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who've been at odds, it seems, over various proposals on all of this past while.
Yeah, they don't seem to be gelling in the same way. And it's odd in that they were in government in a slightly different arrangement for the past 5 years. But certainly Micheál Martin and Simon Harris seem to be clashing. There's clear competition between them across the airwaves and for the newspaper headlines. And I think that's playing out. It's very palpable. We're all very aware of it. And I think it doesn't give you a sense of a cohesive government pulling together. Of course, there's going to be competition, but you don't get the sense that they're really working together or meshing together well at this point.
People do say, like, within the government, that Micheál Martin, like, on that point, like, is more confident than he was the last time having done it. And of course, there is the greater mandate as well. Simon Harris isn't quite flicking into that Taoiseach mode ultimately as quickly as Leo Varadkar. It took him a while, but he did get there in the end. There's no expectation that Simon Harris will reach that. And of course, that is heightened further by the fact that people are already talking about successors in his role.
Yes, and any names there?
Well, according to opinion polls, it isn't Jennifer Carroll MacNeill at all. That was within the bubble here, that Pascal Donoghue, the old consistent, seems to rank higher with the public.
Who has consistently said he doesn't want it.
Of course.
Right?
He may be looking at higher things, perhaps elsewhere. There's always rumours that there's another international job that he's looking for. We do remember that it was flagged that maybe the head of the IMF, that might be a possibility. He issued a sort of a non-denial denial at the time, saying he was focused on his current job. Maybe there would be another sort of similar high-level job he could be interested in.
ECB, Christine Lagarde, only 18 months left. Dublin
good,
Central
good
by-election.
Balls.
Would there be any interesting runners there?
Oh, you cheer you up on a sunny afternoon, Micheál. 7:30 rising, three more sitting weeks. Still a kind of a nice leisurely Dáil, isn't it?
Sort of torpor. It just doesn't, you don't get the sense that things are getting done. And that's partly because the committees aren't sitting. But yes, a very short week. 2 p.m. yesterday, finishing this evening, early evening. And then we're looking ahead to, there's another week when they're not sitting in June.
All right.
Well, there are veteran observers here who said really very little is done after Christmas anyway. So I think it's that kind of magnified this time.
Yes, but I think it promises to be a long, hot summer, doesn't it, in the run up to that budget and the tariff sitting and all the rest. All right, we leave it there. We're going back out into the sunshine.
In our skirts.
Yes. Or Micheál's going to wear a skirt into work tomorrow in solidarity.
If Marty Morrissey does.
All right. With that thought, we leave you. Talk to you next week.